Morten Lauritzen is America's most performed choral composer, and for his 75th birthday this year, he celebrated in part by releasing a new recording of his choral works with the Chamber Choir of Europe. I'm pleased to say that Morten Lauritzen joins us to talk about the album. Welcome to FM 91.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to join you this morning.
So give us a sense of how this project came about in the first place.
Yeah, the esteemed conductor Nicole Mott, I met some 20 years ago. He's German, and he wanted to do an album of mine in Germany with a group he had at that time called the Nordic Chamber Choir. And I flew to Germany, and we did that. We did a tour. Some years later, he contacted me and said that he and Deutsche Grammophon, the great international label, wanted to do a new recording of my music to include the Lux Aeterna with orchestra and a number of my works that are well-known as well as new works. There are three new works included on this album. And so it all came together. I flew to Austria, the small town of Kufstein, Austria, last year in the Alps, and it was a very interesting situation. There was a hotel in that small town that also had a recital stage. And we all gathered there. We stayed at the hotel, and then we recorded for 9 hours a day for a week. 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, 3 hours in the evening. And now the album has been released, Light Eternal, the choral music of Morten Lauritzen. And it was a very, very wonderful experience to once again work with Nicole. And this particular choir is very, very interesting. 24 singers from 15 different countries, including the United States.
Yeah. I noticed they have a tenor from the United States.
Yes. Yeah. So it was a real joy. And then also, for a few days, this incredible Italian orchestra, I Virtuosi Italiani, came in and to do the Lux Aeterna. I'm on piano on many of these pieces, and it's an overview of my work, including brand new pieces.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about your musical aesthetic a little bit. I know it took you some time to find your voice, but once you did, it has really blossomed into this wonderful catalog of choral music that, in listening to this entire CD, I find myself wondering, is it even possible for you to write something that is not beautiful and soulful?
Well, I'll tell you, I invite you to also look at the other sides of me, best represented, I think, on the Northwest Journey CD. That came about some 20 years ago. It was after the original Lux Aeterna recording by the LA Master Chorale was Grammy nominated, and the record company that produced that album came to me and said, we'd like to do another album of yours. And then they said these words, we'll put on it whatever you want, and we'll bring in whoever you want to do these performances. And I remember saying to them, I like that a lot. Why don't you write that down on a piece of paper and sign your name to it? So that particular CD, The Northwest Journey, it is all sides of me. It starts out with a cabaret song. It includes very, very abstract and atonal piano variations and a choral, song cycle based upon poems by Lorca of Time and Night. Very abstract, very complex. The madrigali are very complex. There's a lot of thorny stuff going on in there.
Yeah.
So these particular pieces, I think, on the Light Eternal CD show more of a lyric side of me all the way through, and I invite your listeners to expand their listening of my music to include some of these other albums too. But I'll tell you, this CD is so beautifully performed. I'm very, very proud to be connected with this great group, the orchestra, the conductor, and Deutsche Grammophon.
Yeah, when you were working with the musicians and working with the choir, I mean, did you interact with them directly and give them notes, that sort of thing?
Yeah. This is part of what I do. I travel the world constantly. I've done over 100 university residencies. There are about 10 or 12 All Lords and CDs, all but two of them in different countries, I was intimately involved in, and working at the piano, coaching in various ways, giving my thoughts on how this music should be performed, the intricacies of it. And this certainly happened on the Light Eternal CD.
You talked a little bit about the Pacific Northwest recording, but also this Light Eternal, sort of two different sides, musically, aesthetically, for you. Which side speaks more to who you are as a person, would you say?
Well, when you look at overall what my music is known for, it's the close connection with the words, and those words, for the most part, for nearly all of it, speak to the human condition of dealing with life in a variety of ways, of love or loss of love, of spiritual kinds of things, of dealing on subjects that have a lot of symbolism to them. I love winter subjects because of the contrast there, the light and the dark and the cold and the warmth and the death and rebirth, all these kind of things. I read poetry every day, and I go to those poets that I think are not only are able to express themselves elegantly in words, but also have a deep connection with humankind. And so I think one of the things that goes through the most of my music is the long lyric line. People are able to sing this stuff. They remember it. And you know where I got that from? Starting as a kid and continuing to this very, very day, my deep esteem and admiration for the great composers and lyricists of the Broadway stage. They have left us melodies and lyrics that are part of our DNA, certainly as Americans. Each year I go to Doylestown, Pennsylvania for concerts, and I stay at Oscar Hammerstein's farmhouse. And what an experience that is. I stay in the King and I room there. And to walk around the halls in which the man composed all of these things from Showboat on, and you hear Younger Than Springtime, or This Nearly Was Mine, or Oh, What a Beautiful Morning, and all these kinds of things. But long lyric lines, and I admire that also in the classical world of the songs of Schubert and Schumann and Brahms, or contemporary writers of art songs such as Roram and Copland and Barber and all, that knew what to do with a line that is memorable. And I think that would be the key for listeners of my music, who would say, yeah, there's the music that touches me, that I can remember the lines to that, whether it's a piece set as a chanson populaire from Di Raton, which is simply almost an encore piece, to the longer lines that are found in the Lux Aeterna or the Midwinter songs or Winter Come or the Madrigali and some of these kinds of things. But this is what I do. Each day I read poetry and I work on setting lines that not only connect with poems that make a difference and connect with the listener, but also I'm thinking about the performers themselves. I want to write lines that are gracious for the human voice. Yeah. And I think a whole combination of these things has brought about what has happened with this music. And I would like to remind people, especially budding composers out there, that I simply did my work very, very quietly for decades as a composer at the University of Southern California and building up a body of work. And then after I hit 50, a great deal of international exposure, and this came with a whole lot of elements, Grammy nominations, hits such as Di Raton and O Magnum Mysterium and Lux Aeterna and Sure on the Shining Night. But stay the course, build it up, back it up with technique, set poetry of worth, think about all these kinds of things. And one, as an artist, never expects this kind of thing to happen to them. I certainly didn't. And it caught me quite off guard. And so it's a joy to me now to be part of many, many albums of my music. But the first CD of my music was only roughly 20 years ago. So it's very interesting because I get mail from composers who say that nothing has happened to them. They're going to stay the course because they realize that, in my case, that it took a long, long time. So I encourage them to be true to yourselves, be honest with yourselves, back it up a technique, and see what happens.
It's sort of one of those cases of an overnight success that was decades in the making.
There you go. Good way of putting it.
Yeah. And inspirational, not only for people who write music, but people who listen to music.
Yeah.
I'm curious, did your interest in poetry predate your work in choral music? Did the interest in writing for setting words to music came out of your love for poetry. How did that transpire for you?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, another interesting thing that perhaps your listeners don't know about too much. I didn't start writing any classical music at all until I was a junior in college. I transferred after going a couple of years to Whitman College in Washington State. That first year I took no music at all. I have a lot of interests English and history and many, many things. I was raised in Portland, Oregon. Between graduating from high school and going to Whitman College, I worked as a firefighter for the U.S. Forest Service, fought forest fires. Went to Whitman, took no music at all, thinking it would always be an avocation. I had a background as a pianist, as a trumpet player, played classical and jazz, and then had the life-changing opportunity that in between my freshman and sophomore years, I was on a lookout up by the Mount St. Helens in the Gifford Pinchot National Forest for 10 weeks alone, aside from when I get resupplied once a week by the ranger. And I had a good long talk with myself, and I realized that music needed to be a bigger part of my life, and I did not know which way that would be. I simply went back to Whitman, took every music class I could, and then made the decision to transfer down to a school of music in a large urban area at the University of Southern California because I wanted to hear lots of concerts. I wanted to explore other possibilities musically. I did not know what those were. And I went down there and was put into a beginning composition class since I had no portfolio by the great composer and head of the department there, Halsey Stevens, conditionally for one semester to see if I could cut it or not. Many years later, I succeeded him as chair of the composition department and then had a long, long career at USC, certainly culminated by the National Medal of Arts that I received in 2007 and the ASCAP Life and Music Award in 2016 and others. But I was very, very well taught there. I connected with the great vocal department there and simply combined my love for poetry, the lyric line, and the most personal of instruments, the human voice.
Yeah.
And then later on, building up a body of works, finally being appointed in 1994 as composer in residence of the Los Angeles Master Chorale, writing music for them, the Omnium Mysterium, the Lux Aeternum, getting a Grammy nomination for their recording, and then everything sort of broke in a mega scale for me.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Lux Aeterna and Omnium Mysterium, which are sort of the bookends, I guess you would say, of this recording, two of your best-known works.
Yeah.
And this time of year, we hear Omnium Mysterium time and time again. And even locally, I heard it not too long ago with one of our local choruses.
Yeah.
But in the middle, there's a whole treasure trove here of music that people may not be familiar with. And I wonder, in the few minutes that we have left, if we could just hone in on a couple of the world premiere recordings.
Yeah.
I know you have set a text by your friend Dana Gioia,
as well
as Pablo Neruda. Would you talk about those pieces a little bit?
I certainly will. Dana Gioia is a name that all Americans should know. It's Dana, G-I-O-I-A. Look him up. Google him. For 7 years, he was our national artistic spokesman as chair of the National Endowment for the Arts and did wondrous things with that particular organization. He is now, currently, the Poet Laureate of the State of California. His most recent book, called 99 Poems, was awarded the prestigious Poets Prize this last year. A true Renaissance man, he and his wife, some 30 years ago, lost their firstborn child to SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome. It's something that they don't know the complete cause on. Oh, there are lots of speculation about that. You have a perfectly healthy child, and all of a sudden, the child dies, usually in a crib. And so it has something to do perhaps with sleeping position. They don't know for sure. But this affects thousands of families every year. Dana later wrote a poem called Prayer, which I set to music. And the world premiere recording is on here. And it's an extraordinary poem. I invite your listeners to go to YouTube, and you can find Dana reading the poem called Prayer. And there are a series of images, all of which are edgy in some way, that start the poem. You don't know where he's going with the poem. And eventually, essentially he says this, whatever out there, be it God, spirits, nature, whatever, to watch over his little boy for him.
Mm.
And he ends it by saying, as the mountain guards its covert o'er, and the harsh falcon, its flightless young. Extraordinary poem. And I set it to music. There are three versions of it, one for solo voice, one for that my great opera friend Rod Guilfrey premiered. The duet version, which I'm going to be involved again with Rod and his daughter Karen next Saturday with a joint concert with Dana Gioia, talking about music and poetry. The other piece on here, Eris Mia, as I told you, I read poetry all the time. If I want to go for a poet that requires you to use a lot of imagination, I go to Rilke constantly. But if I want to go to love, I will go to Pablo Neruda. And I invite your listeners to go to his 100 love poems that he wrote for his wife. I set the first one on as part of the Madrigal, as part of the Nocturnes. That particular poem, "When I die, I want your hands upon my eyes. I want to feel their gentleness and their freshness one more time." That's how it starts. Of course, I said it in Spanish, and it goes on and on. He wants you to continue to live, to blossom into full bloom while I'm waiting for you. And then at the very end, he says, "So everybody can know the reason for my song." And then this one, very simple, "Ya eres mía, ninguna más, amor." You're it, nobody else. And it's a very tender, intimate setting of this gorgeous poem by Pablo Neruda.
Well, the album is called Light Eternal, the choral music of Morten Lauritsen from Deutsche Grammophon Records, performed by the Chamber Choir of Europe with conductor Nicole Mott. Morten Lauritsen, thank you so much for the music, and thank you for joining us today here on FM 91.
You're more than welcome. It's been a pleasure.